Next up, it's like, welcome to the hot seat. Are you ready?
All right.
So, Guillaume, would you like to introduce yourself and your startup?
Yes, thank you, Annie. Hi, everyone. My name is Guillaume Houbesch. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Lemlist. Lemlist is a sales automation platform that helps sales team close more deals and book more meetings thanks to ultra-personalized emails.
He's done that before, hasn't he? Where did the idea come from for the business?
Basically, like before building Lemlist, I had my own lead generation agency. So essentially, we were finding leads and closing more deals for our customers. So we were handling all the lead generation. And I basically like tested all the tools on the market, and I didn't like them very much. So I was like, okay, there gotta be a better way. And I met my two technical geniuses who are my co-founders, and we were like, okay, let's start doing something great.
And how far along is the business now?
So it's been 18 months since we start like selling memberships.
All right, here's the bit that you're all gonna go, what? You ready for it? 18 months old.
Yeah.
Your business is already profitable.
Yeah.
Round of applause, people, come on. Here's the second part. You haven't raised a penny of funding, have you?
No.
No money raised. His business is profitable in 18 months. This is like unheard of or just really, really unusual. What is your secret?
I think like from the ground up, we built Lemlist around the community. So we tried bringing a lot of value to our users. Our entire focus is basically to make our users successful. The more successful they are, the more they use the platform and the more money they give us, essentially. So in the early days, we launched on Product Hunt. Everyone is familiar about Product Hunt, yeah. So it's like biggest community with tech products. We ended up number one on Product Hunt very early when it was just out of beta. So we had like an ugly landing page. I was really ashamed of the product. I really didn't like it. But still, it was a great way to test the market. And from there, we saw a lot of people, you know, like getting involved in what we were doing. We were also like pushing new features very quickly, listening to the market. And on top of that, building a community. So right now, we have the biggest community on Facebook around sales automation and emails. That's called the email outreach family because we're all a family now. And we've been always very close to our users, and I think that was key. For example, just quick anecdotes, but when we build like different features, we have a lot of our users who have been using our competitors were actually like sending us videos, like screen shares, of what they like about our competitors and what we should implement and why. So for us, that's like really amazing because like the job of doing, you know, like competitor research is really annoying. I mean, it takes a lot of time, you know, for the dev team, the product team, extra. So when you have your user coming at you saying like, I really want to switch to Lemlist, guys, but you know, like this is a key feature we're using, and you're like, okay, it makes sense. That has really helped us like build the community, build the word of mouth, and have more and more people. And on top of that, I think like a key is that we have a tool that helps us acquire customers. So we've been using our tools like crazy, which means that we haven't spent a lot of money on acquisition. So again, like if you're building a startup, I think like using your tool is really key because right now I really hate my product. Like I see all the defaults. I mean, I love him because it's my baby, but obviously like I hate him at the same time. But I think it's really important because you need to be aware of the flows. And you need to be aware of what you want to improve later.
I think that's a really important point around the being aware of the flaws, particularly with an early stage product that's going out into, you know, sort of prototype and MVP land. Sometimes I see founders kind of just bullishly going ahead because it's what they believe the market wants. And actually, it doesn't really matter what you think. It matters what your customers think. And if your customers are saying, yeah, great, but I wouldn't pay for it, then you kind of need to listen to that. That's important feedback, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so one of the other things that you've done super successfully, and I will freely hold my hand up here and say, I'm he's trying to convince me, by the way, but I'm not brilliant with LinkedIn. I kind of use it because I have to, because it's the way everybody else kind of links in with each other, and I get it, it's a big community now. You, however, have understood the science and the magic behind it. So help us understand, what have you done with LinkedIn that's really been such an incredible business driver?
Yeah, so I think if you're in B2B, like, LinkedIn is obviously huge. In the last 8 months, just to give like one quick numbers, my post on LinkedIn have reached more than 1 million people without spending any money on ads or acquisition. I think like when we go on platforms like LinkedIn or Facebook and you're a business, you always think that it works with ads. But LinkedIn is very different because obviously you're hanging out with your professional network. But you can provide a lot of value by creating good content. So to give you like very concrete example, on our hand, like we talk a lot about sales and we talk a lot about cold email. So for example, I created a video series with 10 tips about cold email. So how do you write a good cold email so you get more replies? So I was not trying to sell anything. I was just trying to provide value and make people engage. So that's like a good way, you know, like to start providing value when you write your content. And if you want to write viral posts, the goal is, I would say that 9 out of 10 of my posts are just value oriented. And the 10th is just gonna be about me getting leads or more leads out of it. So essentially, for example, we wrote a guide about how to find anyone's email address using various different techniques. And I ask people like if they want to receive the guide, just to comment guide. This post reached out 200,000 people. And we got so many leads out of it. It was like really crazy. And basically every time I post on LinkedIn, I receive between 150 to 500 connection requests. And it generates also signups directed to Lemlist because it generates a lot of views to my profile. And then people visit the website. And on top of that, because initially you might be wondering, because this is like I started by the end, but in the beginning, you know, when you're no one, how do you do that? Because we've all been there. And basically what we were doing is every time someone signed up to Lemlist, he has to put his first name, his last name, his company name. So you would say pretty basic, right? So with first name, last name, and company name, you can use, I'm not going to say Google, so use Bing, for example, to automate
Bing,
a search.
Yay.
You automate your search saying like first name plus last name plus company name plus LinkedIn. And then you would find basically anyone's LinkedIn profile, and you can actually build pretty easily scripts. So essentially what every time someone signs up to Lemlist, I add him automatically saying, hey, first name, I just wanted to welcome you to the Lemlist family. How did you hear about us? So if you're in a startup, you also know like this solves two issues. Issue number one, it's super difficult to be very like 100% sure about attribution. Where are your user coming from? Because word of mouth is nice to say, yeah, it's word of mouth, but what is word of mouth? Is this like an event? Is this a colleague? Is it a former employee? Is it, you never know. And by doing this technique, like people are like telling me exactly where they come from, which is like super helpful. Obviously, now I'm not managing alone my LinkedIn profile.
I was going to say, yeah. who's hitting the whole connect, delete, no, yeah, connect, delete?
Yeah, this is done automatically. Like, we have talented developers to automate this task. But just, like, checking the replies of people. And on top of that, you know, I think it builds, like, a good connection with your potential users because they can always reach out to you personally. And then you know that the content you're going to publish is relevant for your audience. So from the ground up, you can actually, you know, reach out to your user, add them on LinkedIn, then publish content that's going to be relevant for them. And if it's relevant for them, essentially, they're going to engage. If they engage, you get more views. And then, you know, it's like a circle of love.
Beautiful circle of love. Gosh, I feel like I'm going to break out into song. So let's go back to, so are you a first time founder? Is this, you know, like something that you've done a few times before?
No, I had like an agency before, but it was, yeah.
So what gave you the, I'm going to do this, I'm going to walk away from the terribly sensible day job and go and do this thing that actually could be a complete success or a complete failure?
I think, to be honest, I always like doing things that I love. And when you build a business, I think a lot of people like are trying to be similar to other businesses. But we have like we're trying to build like a strong brand at Lemlist, and what we say and what we really believe is that B2B doesn't have to stand for boring to boring. And and a lot of people in B2B actually, you know, that they're gonna say, like, for example, in France it's even bigger just because, you know, like we have the tu or the vous, which for me doesn't make sense. Like those people are like, when you say vous, it's like you put a distance and it's not very friendly. But in the end, you know, like you buy from people, and I think like at the end you're just trying to build relationship, and sales is all about relationship. So for us, like, first I wanted to do something I like, and at the same time I wanted to try to bring like a different approach. For me, business can be fun. Like, we have a lot of fun, like, to be honest, in the content we produce, in the videos, in everything we do. We try to have as much fun as possible, and we like to work with people we like. And I think that's kind of, I'm really happy right now because, okay, we're profitable, which means like we all get like a nice salary, we get money out of it, I can hire the people I want to work with. And sometimes, and I think that's also like super important in your startup or your business, you can say no to customers. So initially we were like, okay, I mean, they're paying, you know, it's like, oh my God, like first paying user, like they're
whatever you want, you can have it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like me working for free, of course. Yeah, I'll write your email templates, I do everything. But then after some time, you know, like when you get to the point where you get enough money and stuff, like you just, it's good for you to say no to people, because at some point it will make your brand like stronger. If you please everyone, you won't please actually like the good person. Like, you need to have like your segment, your focus, and I think that's a key point.
Completely agree with that. There's sometimes, particularly in the early stage of a startup, it's so hard to just close the door down because you're worried that you're going to piss the customer off and they're just going to leave. The thing is, though, if you're genuinely solving an important problem in their business, they'll typically be quite patient, and it is down to you as the founder to kind of figure out where that line is between, okay, I can do this much, but if it goes beyond this point of feature number 47, it's like, I can't do that. It's just, you know, it's not going to add much value to the business. I think the other way of putting it is, you know, every day, what can you do as a founder? What's the one thing that you can do to move your business forward? Not the 27 things, just the one thing. And if you focus a little bit like that, it helps you to make sure that you do have that thing. And obviously, you just say, hey, that's a great idea, just not right now.
Yeah.
You don't have to say no. You can say it slightly nicer. So we're going to close with the same question that I closed with Hillary, which is, you know, you've given some great pearls of wisdom through all of this. So thank you, Guillaume. But is there any other words of advice that you have for the audience?
Yeah, like, to be honest, I think like it's important to be grateful, grateful with your team, grateful like for everyone who works with you, your customer, etc. Like, I think sometimes you often get, you know, in the mood where like you're growing fast, everything goes fast, and you don't really realize the chance you've got like to either build a business or be part like of a startup adventure. So I think it's always super important to just take a step back. So my advice for that is actually to write. I know like very few founders like to write, but for me it's like super helpful. When I write an article, I know it's gonna drive traffic, etc. But on top of that, it's really good for me to take a step back and be like, oh, okay, 1 year ago we were there, you know? Because I think it's always nice, and you're like working in a startup, you know, where you're raising funds, so it's always like, what's gonna be the next round of funding, or maybe IPO, we never know. And you're always, you know, like looking for, but I think sometimes you just have to, you know, take a step back, be grateful for your team. Everyone is putting a lot of effort, you know, like building your vision. So as a founder, I think it's super important.
I love that. What a great way to end this. Thank you, Guillaume.
Thank you.